Congregation, since we got news of Doug Maddox's sudden, unexpected demise on Monday, or late Monday evening, I thought I'd start by just addressing that. Normally we would start with announcements. I'll let Chad come and do that in a minute. But our hearts are heavy for Sherry and family. We are rejoicing that they got Trevor home from the Middle East on Friday afternoon. They were able to, yesterday was a really hard day for the family. They had a lot to do with meeting at the funeral home, meeting at the cemetery to pick a gravesite. And then Doug's mom and sister arrived yesterday evening from Virginia. So it's a very difficult day for them. I'm not at all surprised that they are not here for the service today. But they definitely covet your prayers, and they appreciate the sentiment that you've already shared with them, and meals and things that people have helped with. There will be an ongoing need for some of that for a little while. We do not yet know other details. They don't have a cause of death yet. The coroner has said it may take 3 months before he's finished his report, which is fairly typical with a situation like this. So anyway, pray for them. The service, as you know, will be coming up, and Chad will give some details about that, but we'll be in touch with some things that you might be able to help with, or you can contact Roseanne if you could help with meals or a meal preparation for Tuesday. But with that said, we are here today to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And it's actually because of the event that occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, the anniversary of which we celebrate today. It's because of that event that we can be confident that we know where Doug is and that we will see him again. We all owe our destiny to Christ, his death on the cross for our sins, and his conquest of death when he rose again on the third day. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. And we wouldn't wish Doug back. I mean, for his family's sake, we would, but he doesn't want to come back. He's better off than he's ever been. No more injections in his eye for the macular degeneration. No more problems with his shoulder, with his knees, other issues he had. He's rejoicing with the Lord. And we can all rejoice in the knowledge that through faith in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, we too will one day rise. And so we come today to celebrate our risen Savior. We're going to have a kind of another form of a commemoration of that event in just a minute when I get the joy of baptizing my granddaughter, which is a depiction of his death and burial and resurrection. That's going to happen in just a minute. So I'm going to have Chad come and make some announcements. Chris is going to lead a song, and there will be a prayer, and hopefully I'll be changed and back in the baptistry pool by then. Right?
Yes. Good morning. Special welcome to our many visitors here today. It's great to see you all here. Just a few reminders. There will be no evening service this evening. So no service this evening. Next Sunday, we do have a business meeting during the evening service, so 5 o'clock. Business meeting next Sunday. We have ladies' lunch out coming up in a week and a half. That's Wednesday, April 27th at Cracker Barrel at noon. So ladies' lunch out, April 27th, Cracker Barrel at noon. And I think that was all of those announcements. And then as to Doug Maddox in regards to the funeral arrangements there, we do have some information on that. They have finalized the memorial service. They're going to have visitation tomorrow. That's Monday evening, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That will be at Lord and Stevens West out on Jimmy Daniel Road, just off 316. And then the service, the funeral service itself, will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And they will have a brief graveside service to follow at Evergreen Memorial Park. And again, that funeral itself is also at Lord and Stevens West out off Jimmy Daniel Road. That's Tuesday, 2 p.m. And then afterwards, the church will be providing a meal for the family. Please contact Ms. Roseanne Gully if you are able to provide food or assistance with that. That'll be immediately following that graveside service. And I don't know if we know the location of that yet, so we still don't know the location. But we do need our people together to be prepared to help out with that and to have food to provide for the family. Right. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 47, we read, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation." We worship a risen and a living Lord. Let's join our hearts together in praise to him this morning.
Good morning. We will start with 51, hymn 51, Alleluia, Alleluia. Stand with me, please. We will sing this until pastor's ready. So, I'm not joking. We could sing this. This is a song that does not end, but that's not appropriate. We'll sing 51, Alleluia, Alleluia. Stand with me, please. And let's sing the first verse with the piano. And whether pastor's there or not, we're going to sing the first and second verse with the piano. And then I'd like to sing it again a cappella. So we're going to sing it at least twice through. 51, Alleluia, Alleluia.
For those who might not be familiar with the Baptist practice, we believe that the baptism is not something that actually communicates grace. The person doesn't get to heaven because we put them under the water up here. However, it is an act of obedience. We do this because we believe the Lord Jesus told us to, that when a person has come to personal faith in Christ, they make public testimony of that by submitting to baptism as a picture of their association with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, why they go under the water and come back up. They do it once, but it's to indicate their desire to publicly acknowledge their affiliation with Christ, their association with him in his death and burial and resurrection. It's something one does after a profession of faith in Christ, personal faith in Christ. My granddaughter Austin, 8 years old, comes today as a candidate for baptism. Some time ago, Austin professed her faith and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to save her. And I asked her if she wanted to make a speech, and she said she'd really rather not. That's pretty typical. I talked with her, and she explained that she understands that she's a sinner. She's done things that displease the Lord. But she also understands that Jesus is the Son of God, who was the sinless one, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that he rose again to conquer death and promise us eternal life through faith in him. So Austin, I will ask, have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins and trust in him to save you?
Yes.
Then I told her this is going to sound a little weird because she's my granddaughter, but I begin to baptize her as my sister in Christ. Here, turn this way. Take my arm with both hands. And so on the basis of your profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, and raised to walk in new life.
Amen.
And for this, we give great praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, and it's such a joy. It's always a joy for a pastor. This is my favorite thing to do, is to baptize someone who's a new convert. As a public demonstration of faith. First time I've been able to do it for a grandchild. That's a real joy that only those who've been able to do so can really appreciate. Chris, come and lead some more songs. This will take longer than the last
one. All right. Awesome. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's try that again. He is risen. Okay, so we're going to start with 324. And while we're preparing, the choir can come on up, take your seats behind me, and I'll have some awesome sound coming from the choir as we sing the congregational hymns. 324, were you there? We're going to sing through four hymns and then have the offering on the fourth one. Let's stand. I'll let you sit down in the middle two. Let's stand. 324, were you there? Let's sing all four verses.
Oh,
seated. 322. We're going to sing 322, and then it goes over to 323, Christ the Lord is risen today, and we'll sing all four verses of 323 after singing 322. Back over to 32. Crown him with many crowns. Stand with me, please. This is our offering song this morning. After the offering, Debbie's going to play 276. So if you'd like to kind of put your thumb, finger over on 276, Jesus paid it all. You can follow along with the words as she plays it, 276. We're going to start with 32. Crowned with many crowns, let's sing all four verses. This is our offering song this morning.
Awake my soul and sing.
seated.
As the choir comes to present the Easter cantata, the words to the music are printed in your bulletin, at least most of them. There are some places where there are repeats. I didn't put the words in more than once. And then the final song, you'll see, just has a title, but it says Reprise to the asterisk, which means it's the first song, and you can go back and see the asterisk where it is, and that's where they'll be picking up at the repeat at the end of the cantata. All right? This cantata musical by Tom Fetke and Thomas Grassi, A Living Hope.
Peace with God and peace with me.
Passover week in Jerusalem. Jubilant country folk crowded the city, clamoring with festival excitement. The roar of the crowd was deafening. But the jubilation and excitement at this feast of the Passover was unlike any other. Streets were filled with strange rumors of a carpenter from Galilee who had preached to thousands in the countryside, miraculously healing the sick and raising the dead. Excitement rose to a fever pitch. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, was coming into the city. People ran before him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" At last, he appeared, riding not on a powerful steed and robed in royal splendor. No, this man was dressed like a commoner and riding on a donkey. Could this truly be the Messiah, the promised one, Israel's living hope? Significance of these hours, these days, this week? Did they fully understand that God was revealing himself in Jesus and that God sent his only son to bring hope to the hopeless and redemption to the lost? Incredibly, in the days following the festival, Jesus was betrayed by one disciple, denied by another, and forsaken by all of them. He was arrested by deceitful men. He was accused by liars. He was beaten by soldiers. The same crowd of people that had fixed their hope on Jesus just 5 days earlier now shouted to Pilate, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The Roman governor conceded to their demands. Jesus, the hope of the world, was sentenced to death on a cross. Wearing a crown of thorns, he stumbled through the hilly streets, bearing the rough, rugged timbers to Golgotha, the place of the skull. There, he was crucified. Seemingly, all hope was gone.
Displayed in Jesus' precious blood.
Jesus' body was removed from the cross and taken to the tomb of a Sanhedrin member, Joseph of Arimathea. He and Nicodemus wrapped and anointed the body for burial. After the body was placed in the tomb, a massive stone was rolled in front of the entrance. Remembering Jesus' promise, "In 3 days I will rise," Pilate posted a Roman guard outside the tomb. The followers of Jesus could not believe their leader was dead and lying in a cold, dark tomb. Their hopes were shattered, and their future appeared to be uncertain. It all seemed so final.
It was on one Sunday.
As you face the uncertainties of life and the difficulties of death, look up and discover the risen Christ, our living hope. He is standing in all of his splendor and glory at the right hand of Almighty God. Listen as he speaks fervently to you. Do not be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. Because I live, you will live also. Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Thank you.
Well, we are here to give praise and honor and glory to Christ our King. I trust that our hearts have been stirred from the texts of Scripture and the words of the songs. We've been fighting to sing it without tears for a while. But if you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, then I trust you've been encouraged and blessed. If you're here today and you're not sure, then I trust that you've been convicted, that you've recognized that you are a sinner, and that your only hope is in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can pay the penalty for your sin. He was the sinless one, the Son of God, who went to the cross voluntarily to pay for your sin and mine. And you can say, well, I don't want his payment. I'll take care of it myself. Well, that's fine, and you'll pay for it for all eternity. But he calls you to come to him in faith, to repent of your sin, admit that you're a sinner, acknowledge that Jesus is the sinless one who died and rose again. Submit to him, admitting you need him to take charge of your life because you're making a mess. And trusting him to be your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, I pray that you'll do that today. But before we close in prayer, we're going to sing another song as a congregational number. So take your hymnals and turn to number 239, the song that emphasizes what I've just been saying. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. We're going to sing all four verses. Let's stand together as we sing. Testimony of every one of us today. We stand here in the power of Christ. Let's pray.